Speaking of the circle of life, I'd like to introduce Linda Lowe to come up here, and we'll just have a brief chat. It'll just be 5 minutes so that we won't detract too much from our keynote speaker, Irv Weissman's talk. But thank you very much, Linda, for being here. And I just wanted to have everybody get to know a little bit about what it's like to have one of these diseases that we've talked about but haven't actually experienced ourselves. Can you tell us a little bit about when you were first diagnosed and what your disease is?
Sure. It was really strange. I felt great. My husband and I have been married 45 years, and we were teachers for 35 years, and we retired and had this great idea to go to Italy for a month. And we had just finished our last child through college, advanced degrees, the weddings were paid for. We had money for us. So I every year my husband and I were very, very diligent about getting our physicals, and I had my physical 2 days before we embarked on this great adventure. And when I got back from our trip, there were lots of messages from my doctor saying, call me, call me, call me. And gosh, you know, I've always been a healthy person, and I was shocked. So I called, and there was something dreadfully wrong with my blood, and I'm obviously not a doctor. I can only tell you in my own terms that we were scared to death. So I went to an oncologist, who, you know, that in itself was terrifying. And I had myelodysplastic, I hope I'm saying it right, anemia. And my doctor said, you know, she was fine, and she said, look, you're just going to keep an eye on it, we'll watch it. And for 3 years, I was very tired, and I kept getting more and more tired. But certainly, you know, I thought, oh, I'll be fine, because you always think, oh, you're just going to be fine. But in August of this past year, I became very, very ill, very ill. And, of course, it was the morphing of this disease. And I went to my doctor, went to the hospital, had transfusions, and the whole horrible story where, you know, you're probably not going to live. So you, when you're told that, you just go through these gyrations, and it's just something that hopefully, you know, this drug will prevent, because we were told no hope. Went to another doctor, no hope. And then my second doctor said, but I know of great things at UCSD. Let's get you over there. There's a lady there that I've heard of that is, I just know that if anyone can help you, this lady can help you. And that was Dr. Jameson. So I came, and it was a breath of fresh air. I had hope for the first time. My family had hope. My husband and I, we are not the kind of people who wanted our retirement days to be filled with jaunting off to Europe, although that's nice. Our whole life for 45 years was family, family, family. And so our idea of retirement was, we want to help to educate and to take our grandchildren. We already have 3 children who are involved in different parts of life who make a difference in our community, our global community. And our whole thing for my husband and I was, now we've done one generation, now we're going to make our road on the second. And so that's why we brought Little London, to show you that this drug has made it possible for us now to go on to another generation and make our impact. And it's because of this fabulous cooperation between industry, patients, medicine. I don't know how you could do this without the interconnections and finding out, you know, not living in isolation. Right. So
you started on this PF0444-9913 for myelofibrosis, or the MDS had morphed into scarring of the bone marrow, which, as I mentioned at the very beginning of the talk, is called myelofibrosis, and then had 17% circulating blasts. You only need 20% to have AML. Usually, the road from there is not pleasant. Now, you'd started on the clinical trial with this hedgehog inhibitor a little while back. What was the decision-making process for you? What made you decide, okay, I'm going to do this as opposed to some other form of therapy?
Well, I have this great oncologist at Dr. Hampshire, mm-hmm. at Sharp Reese Steele, and we really had a great talk with my whole family, and we decided that the other treatments that were explained to us were pretty harsh. Mm-hmm. And as I told you, my husband and I are very much not, and I don't want to say that, I'm just going to say it, not just about ourselves. We want to say, well, you know, I'm I'm probably not going to live very long if I don't do something. So this course of action would not only help me, but we hope that it will help others. So that really was the deciding factor for us. My whole family said, look, we're in this. We're all in this. We want to, first, they want to help mom, but second, you know, help others too. So that was really our driving force.
And how are you feeling now that you've been on the trial for over 4 months?
Well, it was very brutal for a long time. And there was never a time when we said we're going to stop. When I say we, my whole family was very close. We had lots of pain, lots of stomach issues. That was my my experience with it, my problem with the side effects. But we never thought that there was any reason why we should stop, because there was no alternative in my mind. I just had to keep going. So we worked it out, and you kept saying to me, you said one thing that kept me going. And I'm going to just paraphrase it how I took it was, it's not your emotion, it's your data. Of course your emotion is, you can't help it, you're a human and you're going through this tragic thing, but look at the data. That's why people like me, we need to see the data. So we see there's a light at the end of the trouble. We might be feeling horrible and we might think there's nothing for us, this isn't working. But when you show me the data, data doesn't lie. Look, Linda, your stomach might be killing you, but this data is... So what would I do without the data? I've got to have that. So that's why we need this melding of the two, three, however many little communities that we need to get together to fight this.
Well, thank you so much, Linda. You're a real champion and clearly you're a scientist. Thanks. She's got to get back to her grandchild now. Thank you. So data counts. So Linda reduced from 400 milligrams to 270 milligrams because our study sponsor allowed us to do that. Went from grade 3 abdominal pain and dysgeusia, that change in taste, lack of appetite, to a grade 1. Went from 17% blasts in the peripheral blood to now around 1%. Spleen size of 12 centimeters to 3 centimeters as of yesterday. What I really try to preface the talk by saying is that even though there's malignant reprogramming, it appears to be reformable in some settings, provided we catch people early enough. And what you can see we're trying to do is really shift the paradigm, so we have this three-legged stool of research where we have academia, we have industry, and we have patients at the table here, helping to guide decision-making. I think that's incredibly important. So I'd like to thank Wendy for guiding us through this. Obviously, Linda and other brave patients who have stuck with it. You know, I was in Japan in November, and there was one word that I heard a few times, ganbatte. Never, ever, 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 ever give up.